Why would I give you a Bible study called the Bible? Because you need to learn and understand the purpose of the Bible. It is not a bookend. It is not a house decoration. It is not something you carry around underneath your arm to balance your weight out. It is not something that you shake at people when you are in fear. Are you getting this? The Bible has a purpose for your life, and I'm going to give you scriptural purpose for it. But number one, the Bible is number one to speak God's truth to you. Right? Not your truth, not your opinion, not the way you were raised, not what you think, but God's truth to you. Our problem is we're full of stinking thinking. We've been raised wrong. Our culture is wrong. The way we think is wrong. Everything is against us, but God is for us. You've got to learn these things. The next thing I want you to understand, it is a textbook. Number two, it is the best textbook. And it teaches new life skills. What does that mean? Well, I'm pretty deep this morning now. Teaches you how to live. It teaches you how to live correctly. It teaches you how to live in victory. But it's like any other textbook. If you don't apply the formulas, you don't get the right results. Right? How many people ever took algebra? I remember sitting there, that stuff was some of the hardest thing for me to get because it was so far out in left and right field compared to where I was. It wasn't that I was stupid, but it was a whole new way of thinking. And I had to teach myself a whole new way to think. Now, you can never get into trigonometry nor calculus nor any of that without learning the algebraic formulas and start to think in that kind of way, that abstract way of thought. Amen? You know, and I remember to this day, I took it in ninth grade, and I flunked. Some of us flunk at first at being a Christian. Amen? But God don't give up, and you don't give up either. The problem is, we read the Bible, we see the Bible, we look at the Bible, but we don't practice what the Bible teaches. And because we do not apply the formulas that it shows us, we flunk. But that doesn't mean He throws us away. It means that next time, when you get that formula, practice it so you get the right result. Is everybody listening to me here this morning? You see, the truth is the Bible is always right and you're wrong if you don't agree with it. So you got to get over your pride issues. You got to get over your wanna issues. And you got to just understand that the Bible is there for you to live a good life. Amen? I'm telling you that the Bible speaks God's truth to you. Right? Not your truth. That's what you got to get. You got to understand that the Bible is going to speak God's truth to you, which must become your truth. Right? The Bible is the best textbook, and it teaches new life skills. You've got to remember that. Number three, it gives examples of others so that you can see in action what it means. Amen? And if you think about it, it really is a textbook. If you think about it, it really was written in a way that you can understand if you look at it properly. Number one, it is not a novel. It's not a book you just read. You know, when I got saved, I didn't know any better. So what did I do? I started in Genesis. Nobody taught me anything. Took me forever to find Jesus. Amen. But God had touched me, and I knew He touched me, and I decided that if that was indeed God's Word, then I was going to go down that path no matter what it took, and I was going to teach myself whatever I had to teach myself to live in victory like He spoke about. But it took forever to find Jesus. And then when I found Him, I went, okay, I got it now. But you see, even in the Old Testament, it speaks of the future of Jesus in the New. All right? So you have got to sit there and read the examples. The Old Testament is full of examples of what God likes and what God doesn't like. What will bring curses into your life and what will bring blessings into your life. It's right there. You got to read it, but you also, here, this is a big key. Let me give you this big key. You must believe. Amen? Right. Is everybody getting this? So the Bible is a book that was written by God to speak His truth to you. It is the best textbook for what? Your life. Amen? It teaches what? New life skills. Next year I'm going to start a home that's going to take in all families. And the whole curriculum is going to be based on the Bible. And it's going to be called New Life Skills Center. And when they come in, I'm going to give them a Bible. I'm going to call it a textbook though. I like it. It's got to be a God idea. Amen. I'm going to take in whole families. Everybody, men, women, and children. All together. And I'm going to give them my textbook. New King James Version. Here, Bible. Well, what is this? It's your textbook. Amen? Because it is. Alright? Now, the Bible gives examples of others. Why? Because we identify with other people. Right? We see our lives engage it alongside of what other people do. Right? So the Bible gives examples of others, and you're to live your life by the examples. If you want to know what's going to happen, then you read what happens to others. If you're doing the same things that they did, then the same results are going to happen to you. Good or bad. See, that's why it blows my mind in the church today that one of the biggest problems that we have is not drug addiction. It's not alcohol. It's sexual immorality. And always has been. Amen? And it's the one common denominator that we all got to watch out for. Because we all have those kind of tendencies. The nicest person in the world twitches sometimes. Amen? It's just true. You know, like when I got saved, I had been very promiscuous. And I'm not bragging, I'm just stating facts. And what happened to me was one of the first things I had to do was I had to all the way cut off the opposite sex. I had to fast large. You understand? Why? Because I was too used to the wrong things. And there was no way I was just going to go up and say, hi, how are ya? And that would be the end of it. Do you understand? For the same reason, I quit going to bars. Right? For the same reason, I quit hanging out with a boy. Why? Because it's all the same thing. My life skills were all the way wrong, so I had to cut them all off and start again. Are you hearing me here today? And the Bible teaches these things. It says, separate yourself. Come out from darkness. Why? Because God has called you to be holy. Amen? And you aren't going to be holy as long as you're hanging around with a whole bunch of people that are dark. Amen? You can lie to yourself. You can do whatever. But you know, you better get back to your textbook and read the truth. Amen? There's a great preacher that was down in New Orleans for years. He was always on the streets ministering to the ladies of the night, like the Cantiva Donnas, whatever you want to say, right? And for years and years and years, he'd go right into the bars and do all those things. And one day he fell. Why? Because he did not learn the truth. Men are to minister to men, and women are to minister to women. Why? Because it keeps you away from temptation. If I have to deal with women, I'll have my wife deal with them. Why? Because she's such a sweetheart. And it's not that I am afraid of dealing with women. You understand? That's not it. I have no fear, but it is prudence on my part. Right? And if I do talk with a woman, I leave the door open so that everything, you know, because I do minister to women, and I don't mean it that way. But when they go into that deep stuff that's really bugging them, I can't be there. Because that's the moment of weakness, and that moment of weakness can lead to wrong things. Amen? I can violate their trust, not even meaning to, but because we are all people, we must do cautious things. You know, it's like one of the smartest things I ever had a preacher teach me, and they taught me a lot of things, but this is one of the smartest things, is I had to retrain the way I even looked at people. When I look at women, I look at them in their eyes and at their face. Why? Because you have to learn to look at that so that nothing else comes into your mind. You got to train yourself, amen? And it's just something that you learn, right? I had to learn this thing. Why? Because I'm in it for the long haul, amen? I want to do the right thing. I want to be an example, you know? And it can happen to anybody. It can happen to anybody. It can happen to anybody can fall into these things. Anybody! And nobody's blaming nobody, but what we have to do is we got to remember, because as soon as we forget, that's when we're going to have problems. All right? So we're talking about the Bible today. Speaking God's truth to you. Who's truth? Not your mama. Not your dad. Not even your preachers. Because their truths change. Amen? You go to denomination to denomination to denomination, and you're going to find that everybody's a little different. You go into one church, women got to wear long dresses, no makeup. Don't cut your hair either. You go into another church, and everybody there is like plaster face. Liquid face, liquid this, liquid that. All blowed up, bonnets, whatever. I mean, and styling. Amen? You go into another church, and it's all moderate. So even denominations have preferences. That's why you've got to learn about the Bible, which is the handbook for life. Because the Bible is always right, and people have preferences, but God is very straightforward in His Word, and that's why you have to learn. Amen? Because I'm a Roman Catholic Baptist. What does that mean? When I was a kid, I being Italian, of course, I was Catholic. And of course, Dad told me I was going to be an altar boy, so what did I do? Okay, me, I'm here. I'm an altar boy. I spoke Latin. Did I understand what it meant? No, of course not. But did I speak it? I had to. Dad said, you're an altar boy. So, I'm an altar boy. Maybe you guys argued with your parents, but this kid didn't do those things. It was no good for my health. Amen? Dad didn't say, I'll bet you I never heard my father say more than 8 or 10 words in a row. But I hung on every one of them. You go do the lawn. Okay. Amen? Why? Because I was raised in a place and in a culture where you did not disrespect your parents. You did not argue with your parents. You would not dare do those things because you would see God incarnate or the devil immediately, depending on what side you're on. And your whole world would come to an end instantly. And on several occasions, it did. So, okay, let's talk about the Bible now. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10. Okay, this is Paul talking. All right? We're talking about the Bible. I told you that the Lord we serve gives us an example so we know what's going to go on. Amen? He shows us what is rebellion. He explains it in detail. He explains what he expects out of us. What does he mostly expect out of us? To love him with all our heart, body, soul, mind, and strength. Amen? What does that mean? Make Him number one in our life. Okay, that's the first thing we've got to learn. And that's also the hardest thing. And if you can get past that thing, then you're pretty much on track. If you can learn and teach yourself to love God with your everything, you're going to do well. Because when you really love somebody with your everything, you do what you're supposed to because you love them and you want to be pleasing to them. Amen? Alright. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea." What does that mean? Now, if you read in Exodus, when Moses was leading them out of Egypt, out of 400 years of bondage, what happened was that God went before them, or the angel of God went before them, whatever you want to say, in a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. And it says right here, and they all followed Him, and they went through the Red Sea. God split the Red Sea. Right? Okay. So it says, all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all were one people. Right? All ate the same spiritual food. All drank the same spiritual drink. They all heard and saw the same things. Right? They were all of one people, and they were all treated the same, and they all were availed of the same teachings. Right? And all drank the same spiritual drink, for that drink of the spiritual rock, they followed them, and that rock was Christ. They were all waiting for the Messiah. All. Right? But with most of them, God was not well pleased. Right? It says that, "For their bodies were scattered in the wilderness." Now these things became our examples. Right? And the Old Testament was written in a way where you can look and see what pleases God and what displeases God. Amen? So if you want to know, it's easy to see if you really want to know. Some of us, I assure you, I believe this with all my heart, that most Christians should probably have a name more like ostrich. Right? Because we hide our heads in the sand so that we don't have to deal with the truth. We figure that if we aren't told it, or if we don't read it, then it's okay and we'll ignore it. But that's not the way God works. You see, God didn't write this book for it to be your end of your bookshelf. He didn't write this book for it to be just opened up to a picture of the Holy Land on your favorite coffee table. He wrote this book so that you would have examples, so that you could learn new life skills, so that you could understand it's a textbook, and so that you could hear God speak His truth to you. Amen? And that's what this Bible is all about. So he goes on to say, both of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered into the wilderness. How many people know how many persons that came out of Egypt made it into the Holy Land? I usually use the number of about 2.5 million people came out of Egypt with Moses at that time. And when it says right here that God was not pleased with most of them, you're going to find out what that really means when you figure out how many people made it into the Holy Land. Wide is the path that leads to destruction, and narrow is the way that leads unto life. And God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit were in the beginning, and they are till this day. We are in a grace dispensation. All right? But God has clearly showed us what He likes and dislikes. It says in the Bible, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen? So, it goes on in 6, "Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters," which is worshipers of things other than God. It could be your job, could be your wife, could be your husband, could be money, could be your dope. Tell me, what does a heroin addict love? What does a rock star love? Is that not idolatry? Don't you put that above God? Hello? So people go, well, no, save it. You get real. Amen. You need to be real. Amen. What you seek after with your life is what you love. Well, you don't understand, it's a chemical thing. No, it's a spiritual thing that leads to a physiological thing. Amen? You actually have a spiritual problem, not an addiction problem. Amen? You are spiritually away from God, and because you are spiritually away from God, you substitute stuff for God. Amen? Alright. Well, Darwin, that's kind of hard. Conflict, all them Sigmund Freud things. You tell me God isn't great enough to help you to overwhelm anything? Anyway, it says in verse 8, nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain. You know what? There wouldn't be anybody going to heaven if God wouldn't let us in because we complain. None of us would make it. We'd all be left outside the pearly gate. Because we love to snivel and complain about how hard it is to serve God today. It's so hard, Brother Dominic. Horse pucky. You're full of yourself and the devil and you got to get over it. Amen? It's not hard serving God. It's hard halfway serving God. Amen? It's hard to halfway do something. It's hard to walk the fence line without falling down and splitting yourself in the middle. But it's not hard to serve God because it's all right there. It's easy to see what you're supposed to do. It is written. Now you just got to do it. All right. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition. What does that mean? Warning. Warning. What does that mean? Watch it. God doesn't like this. You're putting yourself in a place of curses. Hello. And no, you can't avoid it. If you do these things, you're going to suffer the curses of sin. And is he right? Absolutely. It's an admonition. It's a warning. It's telling you that I can't bless you fully when you're doing these things. Is God going to forgive you? Yes. But is there a consequence for action? Yes. Amen. I'm not even talking about heaven and hell. I'm talking about blessings and curses. Right? I mean, if you confess Christ, and you are all imperfect like me, at least I'm imperfect, maybe you're perfect, I'm imperfect. You know, we all make mistakes. We gotta confess it, put it underneath the blood, and then God forgives us. But are we gonna still suffer a consequence for that sin in our life? Yes. So what is the cure? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. Does God take as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, or into obeying the voice of the Lord? Amen? It's just the way it's all set up. Will God forgive you? Yes, that's why Jesus came. But do you want to be fully blessed? Yes. Then you need to study this textbook that He gave you. You need to learn new life skills that He's showing you. You need to look at the examples left in the Bible so you can see what happens to people that are obedient and what happens to people that are not obedient. Some of it is very scary. And I just sit there and go, mercy, Lord. Mercy, Lord. Another thing that would happen is if both of us in this room, I never said I wasn't disobedient to my parents. I just said that I never would say no. That doesn't mean I wasn't disobedient. But you know what? If you gave your parents a hard time in old Israel, what would happen is you'd be a rock pile. The village would take you outside and they'd stone you to death for being a wayward child. Oh, there's Dominic's rock pile. There's Paul's rock pile. There's Dave's rock pile. What are all those rock piles? They're the disobedient children. Read your Bible. Honor your father and your mother. Amen. What does that mean? What does it sound like it means? Scary, huh? But it's true. All right. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, for our warning, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. It says in verse 12, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. The worst spirit you can have is a religious spirit. The worst spirit you can have is a prideful spirit. The one that says, well, you know, that happens to them, but that never would happen to me. That's because they're weak. They're not like me. I have a great prayer life. I have a great relationship with God. I read the Bible every day. I don't go watch those dirty movies. I don't, you get what I'm saying? The biggest problem that we have is that we think more of ourselves than what we are. We think more of our capability. Amen? Than we think of God. We can do it on our own because we've been trained to do it on our own. Our parents told us we can do it. Well, let me tell you something. In God, we can't do it on our own. We have got to learn to lean on God. We have got to learn to go to God with all our problems. We've got to learn to find His solutions to our lives, not our own. We have got to quit leaning on our own understanding. And we have got to learn to trust God above all things. Are you hearing me here today? It says, trust in who? With all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. What does that mean? You think wrong. You've always thought wrong. And to some degree, you're always going to think wrong. Why? Because you're a human being. Amen. You can't get away from it. There's nothing you can do about it. But what you need to do, you see, is you need to go to God. You need to learn to go to His Word. And then you need to practice what you find. Amen. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will direct your path. What does that mean? You need to let God direct your path instead of you. Are you getting this? See, I want you to get this. You know, a lot of people say, God never talks to me. No, you never listen. Heck, you probably never listened. And you don't want to listen today. You still want to run your own program. You want to do what you want to do. And above all, you lie to yourself and tell yourself it's okay. Amen. Here, let me give you an example of something that I was listening to Frederick Price, Dr. Price. And I listen to him once in a while, and I do. And, you know, I don't agree with anybody all the time. But he was so profound this one time. And he usually is. And I was sitting there listening to him, and he said that he came into his office one day, and the secretary was all just bubbly. She was bubbling. And he noticed, and he goes, hey, he says, wow, he says, you're really doing good today. I can see it. She goes, oh, yeah. He goes, what's going on? She goes, well, God sent me a man. He goes, He did? She goes, yes, we're going to get married. It's all good. The Lord's taking care of me, blah, blah, so forth and so on. And he goes, is that right? God sent you a man? And she goes, yes, He did. He's taking care of me. I've been waiting for the right one, so forth and so on. And he goes, is that right? He goes, is he a born-again believer? She goes, oh, no. No, he's not. But someday I'm going to pray, and I know he's going that way. And Frederick Price looked at her and said, God didn't send you that. You got it. Why? Because God says in His Word, and He never conflicts His Word, that you are not to become entangled with those that are unbelievers. He says it clearly. He states it. He says it in more than one place. Read 1 Corinthians 7. Do not be unequally yoked. Well, she was not very happy with him. She's a secretary in a church. Certainly she should read her Bible, you would think. But isn't it just so how we are that in moments we decide what we want to do and then we'll twist God's word so that it is acceptable to us, but it never changes His word. You understand? People, I'm going to close with this statement. You know, I believe this is probably one of the most important Bible studies that I've ever preached, taught anybody. Because it is the whole truth that you need to base your life on. You know, I'm here to tell you that I am a born-again believer, a tongue talker, baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I mean, I have a great time in the Lord, but I still got stinking thinking. Amen? I still make big boo-boos when I'm not cautious to look and find the right path. I still make mistakes that I should never make when I don't take the time to research my path. I'm here to tell you today that the Bible is always right, even if you like it or not. I'm telling you that your safety and your blessings come along with you knowing the Word and following the teachings of it. Now, I am here to tell you that the biggest fallacy in the church today is that because Jesus Christ came, that He changed the whole content of the Bible. But in fact, He was in the beginning, He is now, and He will be in the end, and His Word will live forever, and He is the Word. So from the time you start in Genesis to the time you get through Revelation, you are hearing Him speak. And He is confirming what the Father has already spoken through Him. And the Holy Spirit confirms in you truth if you will listen. But you must take the Bible literally. That big word means that it means what it says, and it says what it means. You cannot pervert it. You cannot take the parts that you choose to like and believe that's the only ones that are right. You cannot live just out of the New Testament. You are operating in one third of the knowledge that the Bible will give you. You must become a student of the Word of God. You must treat it like a textbook for life to learn new life skills. If you want to be blessed fully in your life, you must abide in the Word, by the authority of the Word, forever. And if you will, the good life that God always meant for you to have will become evident in your life. But it only comes as you learn and practice the truth of the Word of God. Amen. If you're unhappy today, it's probably because of your sin nature. Amen? Something's happened in your life that has separated you from God. So, get over it. Confess it. Run to Him. Embrace Him. Tell Him you're sorry and you're home now and help me to do right. Amen? Recognize that sin nature has consequence, but the consequences someday will be over and the blessings arrive once again. And this is my ending that I want you to understand. We are always planting seed by our life and by our word, by both things. What we speak brings back a return. You speak life and death with the power of your tongue. That is a biblical truth you cannot get away from. And by our actions, we bring curses and we bring blessings into our lives. You have got to learn the whole truth. And you can't change one chapter, one verse, one jot, one tittle of God's Word and expect it to make a difference. God wrote it. God said it. God means it. And it's for you to learn so that you can be blessed. But it's up to you to learn it, walk it, and believe it. Now, I sat there and I drew this picture of a key. Amen? Because I know what the key is, and I mean it when I say it. You must believe. Amen? Now, let me share this last part, and I'm done. It says in the Word of God that there is nothing done in secret that will not be revealed. How many people have found that was true? There's so many people that figure because they turn out the lights or they go associate with somebody else or whatever that it's going to be okay. I said, you must believe. If you start to believe the whole Word of God, then you're going to learn the fear of the Lord and you're going to learn the fear of the truth. The truth will always be revealed. You can't hide in the church. You can't hide in the street. Amen? Whatever goes on in your life that is done in darkness will come to the light. The best thing for you to do is to live in the truth all your life. You know what? If you want to live in sin, go ahead. I'm not going to sit there and tell you don't do it. Whatever, you know you shouldn't do it. Amen? But if you choose to do it, go ahead. But recognize this, that you will pay a price. And that is in accordance with the Word of God. And you can't change nothing about it. So the best thing for you to do is recognize the truth and walk in. Well, how will I know? I hope you wrote this down. Because if you wrote this down, you're going to do okay. If you practice what is taught. If you do what you want to do, you'll suffer that consequence. If you do what God wants you to do, you'll reap the blessings that God wants you to have. I want to be blessed. I've been cursed plenty in my life, prison, jail, all the rest of that trash. I was sitting there listening to that guy last night. He was talking to being in a youth ranch. I went to Huntsville. Amen. A gladiator farm. Ellis unit. All right. Some of you guys don't know that. Ramesses 3. I mean, the whole place is a city of people in misery. You know what, people? I've had enough misery in my life. I want to be blessed. You can be blessed too. It really doesn't matter. He told it right. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter at all. It matters where you want to go. Praise the Lord. Remember this. The reason why most Christians live a pitiful life is they lie to themselves and they're lazy in their new life skills. Amen? They don't practice what they know. They practice what they want. Whose fault is it? There. You don't have to have it, but you can. It's up to you. Father, I love you, God. Let it be today that each person in this room get the truth inside of them in a way that they act on it, God. Let us all learn to not be just hearers of the word, but God, that we be performers of it. And Lord, I just ask you especially today that your Holy Spirit come into their hearts and break down the calluses and bring that new wine of life, God, that joy unspeakable, that peace that surpasses all understanding, in order that they might be made whole and fully blessed in their life to come. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone said,